You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, powered by Interstate Batteries. From your truck to your trail camera, Interstate Batteries has you covered. Visit your local Interstate Battery store today or online at interstatebatteries.com. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Welcome to the Southern Ground Hunting Podcast. I'm your host, Parker McDonald, and this is episode number 31. Today, me and Michael are getting pumped up about turkey season opening up here in Alabama. We know a lot of you guys are getting jacked about it opening up across the South here pretty quickly. So we thought we would have one of our buddies that can talk about turkey hunting with the best of them, and that is Mr. Adam Cruz. So if you love to turkey hunt, this episode's for you. Hope you guys enjoy the show.
You don't know this song?
Oh. All right, welcome to the Southern Ground Hunting Podcast. I'm your host, Parker McDonald. We just got some new equipment in.
Yeah, and we're sitting here playing.
We're playing with everything. You might notice that intro was a little bit different than normal. I could have it up a little bit right there.
Yeah.
So, any of you Kenny Loggins fans out there, hopefully you appreciate that.
Top Gun fan.
That's one way to do it, I guess. So today, we have not yet recorded the episode, so this is actually legitimately re-recording this right now. I'm going to turn this music off. I can't concentrate.
Okay.
We're recording this right now, right before we're about to interview our guest for today, Mr. Adam Cruz. Some of you may know him as a co-host on another hunting podcast called the Down South Hunting Podcast. Some of you may know him from his work with the blog he was doing called Chase the Mountain, but we know him as our buddy that we shared Kentucky Deer Camp with.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting.
That was an interesting trip. So if you haven't watched that on YouTube, you should go back and watch that. Michael proved just how much better at deer hunting he was than the rest of us. Well, except for Jason. Jason kind of threw us all under a rug.
Jason took the cake on that one.
He took that one pretty yeah. quick, actually. Actually, it was really quick. So
and he made it very easy on the drag out.
Yeah. So if we – I don't remember – I'm sure we've talked about it at some point, but Jason killed a deer, a freaking giant. I mean, not a giant, but a good, respectable deer.
Yeah, it was a good buck.
The first time he stepped foot on the WMA that we'd been hunting all week, he goes out there, sits on the ground on a soybean field, and the Joker made us all look stupid and killed an awesome buck, and it ran, like, what, 75 yards away from the truck? Something like that.
Yeah, it landed, like, 75 yards.
It was crazy. This is actually the first trip, the first time I ever got to actually meet our guest, Adam Cruz, in person, and what a cool guy. Like, he's just such a fun dude.
Yeah.
He's a turkey killer, first off. That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about a little bit of turkey hunting. And he's a turkey killer, he's a deer killer, and he's just a grinder, you know what I mean? Like, he works hard, puts a lot of work into stuff, and just does a really good job. I really like Adam.
Right.
He's a cool dude.
Yeah, he's very personable.
Yeah, super personable. I didn't realize just how like just easy it would be to hang out with him.
Right.
So if you're listening to this, I'm just now realizing that we're getting some wind coming into the sound system, which is okay. It's hitting the microphones pretty good, but we are actually at the archery park right now. We just shot Michael's stick bow a little bit and
good old Striker.
Yep. The Striker. Does it have a name?
Yeah. Striker Sport.
Striker Sport. Awesome.
I think so.
It's a sweet bow.
It's a long bow.
It's a cool bow. And so you're going to kill a deer with it this year.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to kill all of them with my stick bow.
All of the deer.
Yeah. In the first 2 weeks. on Bankhead.
Good luck, man. I hope you do. I hope you do. So let's talk about this. So opening weekend of turkey season was this past weekend in Alabama.
Yep.
We're not going to give too much away because I'm sure we'll talk about it in this episode. But you got to turkey hunt a little bit today, right?
I did. I went with my buddy Brad to his piece of property. And this past weekend, he'd had a couple of encounters with a gobbler and just wasn't able to seal the deal. And we went early this morning. I think I woke up like 4:30, met him at 5:30. And we were in the woods a good bit before daylight. And we went to a couple of different spots, did some calls. I think it really was just too cold this morning. I mean, it was like 29 degrees. My windshield was frosted over. I was like, these jokers are going to be hanging out up in the tree for a little bit this morning.
Yeah, by the fireplace,
yeah.
Probably.
And they didn't answer. They didn't answer any of the calls this morning. So, like, maybe like around 8:45 or 9, I ended up leaving because I had to put up a fence. I have to build a fence in my backyard. My dog keeps getting out. So anyways, I went back to do that. He asked if I wanted to stay a little bit longer, and I was like, well, I really need to go, you know, get this stuff done. We're supposed to do a podcast later today. So went back and then gave Parker a call because I didn't have everything I needed, and so I just figured that I would do it later this afternoon, finish up the fence. And so we, you know, drove up here to the park and started shooting. Well, then I get a text message from Brad, and he just laid one down. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was a really cool story. I guess we can wait for the story.
Yeah, we need to get him on the show to talk about it because it's a pretty cool story.
Yeah,
it's pretty fun.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet.
And man, I'm super jacked up about turkey season. I went this weekend, and it was uneventful. I walked a lot, got stranded in the lake on a boat.
I heard you paddled a lot.
Yeah, we paddled a John boat a whole lot, and I'm not taking the blame for it because it wasn't my fault. But I'll tell the story here in a little bit when we get to start talking with Adam.
Yeah.
But so we know that a lot of you guys are probably pumped up about turkey season as well. And so I wanted to tell you guys about something that we're going to be doing starting this week and with this episode, okay? Or I say this week. This today is what? Tuesday. The episode will drop on Friday. So probably on Monday is when we will actually start this thing. But I want you guys to be on the lookout. Watch our Facebook page, because what we're going to be doing is a turkey call giveaway every single week of turkey season.
That sounds pretty awesome.
That's pretty cool. Like, and I'm not talking about we're going to Walmart to get some, you know, $5 turkey calls and give them away to people. I'm talking about like companies. Like, I talked to guys at Woodhaven Custom Calls, and they're going to put in a pot call, one of their pot calls, into this deal. My buddy Locke Wheeler, who does the Strutcast podcast, he works a lot with T3 Custom Calls, and they're going to do it. Some other people we've talked to, and they're going to do it as well. And so I'm super excited about it. It's going to be fun. So watch our Facebook page, guys, because we're going to be giving away these turkey calls, and it's going to be really quick. It's going to be a week long giveaway, and then it's going to be over. So you'll have the way I'm setting it up is to where we have a call to give away every week through the end of April. So that's usually around the end of turkey season for most people. It's definitely the end of turkey season. I think April 30th is the last day of turkey season here in Alabama. So it will definitely go up through April 30th. So watch our Facebook page. Every single week we're going to be doing these giveaways. We just recently gave away an Onyx Premium membership. Just one that Onyx had sent us, and we gave it away, and it was pretty cool. I think, yeah. Let us know if you like these giveaways. Not that we can do them all the time, but we do them pretty often. And I'm not gonna give it away, but we got another really, really, really cool giveaway.
Yeah,
that we're gonna do soon.
Yeah, and it's gonna be. It's the icing on the cake. I mean, it is a sweet, sweet giveaway.
It's a sweet giveaway, and
nobody's done anything like this before, so
yeah,
that I know of.
I'm pretty excited about it. So I'll give you a little hint. Here's the hint. I have a conversation with Greg Godfrey tonight to hash out all the details. So if you don't know who Greg Godfrey is, then you're not going to understand that hint, but I'm not going to give you any more hints than that. So going into that, we have A brief moment just to thank our partners, and that is Tethered, who we just talked about. Oh, crap. I gave away my hint. So Tethered, the saddle company, Onyx Maps.
That totally just messed you up,
didn't
it?
That messed me up, man. Yeah. I gave away my hint, and I'm trying not to. But seriously, I want to thank Tethered, Onyx, New Breed Archery, and...
Can we give even more hints?
Yeah. We can.
Well.
What do you want?
You just named the other part of the hint, didn't you?
Oh, I did. I did. I did. Yeah, so I don't know if I want to give this away or not.
I think it would grab everybody's attention.
All right. Prepare to have your attention grabbed. Okay. I'm not going to give away everything, but there has been a conversation with not New Breed, but a sister company of New Breed. Isn't that what you would call it?
Yeah.
And they're going to be a part of this giveaway as well. The same one that Greg Godfrey is a part of. That's it.
That's all I
got. Lastly, go wild. It's getting into turkey season. It's scouting season already. A lot of people have been scouting, shed hunting.
I've just been working.
Yeah.
I've been working for the past 3 weeks.
When we went out turkey hunting this past weekend, I had not stepped foot in the woods since Saddlepalooza. And we put 9 miles on our boots chasing turkeys around in some really unforgiving land. I didn't really expect it. And also paddling a whole lot. So I was out of shape, man. I have not been in the woods. But it is time to be in the woods right now, whether you're chasing turkeys, trying to look for sheds, whatever you're trying to do, there is a place for you on Go Wild. So you can go post your pictures, post your experiences, some cool stuff that's happened to you in the woods. Lately, I've been seeing a lot of people talk about the balloons. Have you seen that?
I took a picture today.
Did you?
Yeah, found a balloon in the woods. Unfortunately, there were no beds.
No bug beds?
It was in the creek.
Okay, yeah. So, no
bug beds in the creek.
A coincidence.
I mean, thermals fall. I mean, they were hitting, right there in the creek. So
if you haven't seen that, Dan Infault posted a video or a post on Facebook about finding balloons, like those aluminum foil balloons, in the most prime bedding areas, having to do with wind currents and thermals and everything, and just being like those prime locations. And so, but anyways, back to Go Wild. You keep getting me off track, Michael.
Hey, man. I keep looking at you. Out the balloons.
I keep looking at you, and I don't want to talk about buck beds. But we really do appreciate all the support that Go Wild has given us. You can go on there, post your pictures, post your recipes, post whatever you want to, and see whatever you want to, because it is just awesome like that. It's just a cool place to hang out, cool place to make hunting buddies, make friends, and have cool conversations. So make sure you check out Go Wild. Michael, do you have anything else?
You know, I never do.
You don't? No, that's true. So let's get into our conversation with Mr. Adam Cruz. All right, on the line now, we got Mr. Adam Cruz. How you doing, Adam?
Parker, I am fantastic, man. It is good to be on the show, and it's good to be talking with you and Michael.
It's always good when I get to talk to you, man. Like, you are one of the most, encouraging. You're an encouraging fella. So I think the other day I texted you, and it's like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to have a great turkey season this year. And you're like, oh, man, no, you put in the work, it's going to be just fine. I was like, man, thanks, Dad. I really appreciate that.
That's good.
But we were just talking about, we just recorded the intro a second ago. We were talking about the Kentucky camp that we got to share, even if it was just for a couple days, where we really got to hang out with you for the first time.
Parker almost tried to kill you.
Yeah, I tried to kill you.
Hey, at least it was, I think that was more of a nature thing, or maybe God letting me know, hey, I need to get my life together.
Sometimes I really prayed, I really sought the Lord, and said, you know what, if Adam's not right with you right now, let's just make sure he gets right.
Let's just throw down a lightning strike right next to him.
That almost worked.
That's cool. All right, so Adam, today we are talking about turkey season. I know you're a turkey killer. Would you qualify yourself as a turkey killer?
Oh, man. I think I've went through periods of my life where I say, yeah, I'm a turkey killer. I'm a turkey wannabe killer. Let me clarify. if I got the right property with birds, I say I'm a turkey killer. Right now, man, I'm a struggling turkey hunter.
So what's your, I know like last year was when you started doing public land stuff?
Yeah.
So last year you started on public land. You killed a bird last year, correct?
On private land. Oh. In my backyard.
Dang, man. Fun. I was trying to.
I was cheating, dude.
I was trying to give you the benefit of the doubt. Golly.
It didn't work. No, I had to resort to like going to Easy Street.
That's awesome.
We're headed down south real quick.
Yeah, dude. We're outside at the archery range right now, and the wind is just howling. And we were like, oh, it'd be cool to do a podcast outside. We're going to do it outdoors, shooting our bows. And yeah, that wasn't a good idea. So you started hunting public land turkeys last year. Are your plans to hunt public land this year?
Yeah, man, I've got access to some private properties. It's just a lot of driving. So I choose to hunt public because of how close it is to home. And as you know, all the sporting events that go on in life with young kids just makes it a little bit easier. So I have accepted the challenge once again of turkey hunting public ground rather than leasing and paying a ton of money.
I don't blame you, man. That's really our outlook on deer hunting and turkey hunting for me. Like if I had a farm or family property, like I would hunt it. That's for dang sure. I would definitely hunt it. And if somebody invites me to go, I'll hunt it. The reason I hunt public land started because I was just, I'm broke. I don't have any family money. The rest of my family's broke. Like, it's not like.
Or you get kicked out of your hunting club for killing too many deer.
Yeah, I never had that problem. See, like, that just wasn't me.
I didn't have that one either.
That wasn't me. I would love to have that problem, like you, Mike, but I just I just never have had
but
that.
But evidently, I can only kill them in those clubs.
Yeah.
I struggled this year.
Yeah.
Which I bounced around a whole lot.
You did.
I didn't stick in one place very long, so I think that was half my problem.
So that's the good thing about turkeys, though. For me, especially on public land, maybe you're the same way, Adam. Like, I've been used to hunting turkeys on private land. That's how I started. Where you have just a certain amount of property that you can hunt, and if they go off of that property, well, then you're done. You can't keep chasing them. You can keep calling them, but pretty much once they get off of it, you're done. On public land, though, it just seems like I have bigger pieces that I can hunt, and I can really start bouncing around and start chasing the things. Has that been kind of your experience too, Adam?
Yeah, man, it just opens up the possibilities to so many more birds. Like you mentioned, I used to hunt a few private properties around where I live now. And all of those birds had a habit of roosting where I had access to hunt and legitimately would fly down straight off into some ag fields where other landowners had property and didn't have access to hunt it. So that was always really discouraging. You'd be like, okay, well, if they didn't fly down on my side, you know, the hunt's over until midday and they break up and you can call them back in. So it's nice not to have to worry about that. I'm kind of like you. I jump in my kayak, and now that I got a motor on, it's going to make my life a little bit easier, but I can just zip right down the river and get on some more birds. And whether or not I'm successful or not, man, that's all, I guess, depending on how you want to define success. But I'm just happy to be on birds, man. I count it as a success. If I hear bird gobble, I get to work that bird, no matter whether or not I kill him. I've had a really dang good day. It was a heck of a lot better than the alternative of working or whatever else I might be doing.
I totally agree with that, man. Any day you can go out there and chase them, it's good. I'm not necessarily good at it, but it's easy to get discouraged during turkey season. Sometimes I wish I would have never started, but it's always fun. It's always really fun whenever you can make it successful. So speaking of that, you got what, like a week and a half before your season opens up there in Tennessee?
Yep. And juvenile opens up this weekend. So I plan on taking both of my kiddos out. We got one that's 12 and one that's 7. They don't normally hunt with me throughout the season, but they're all game and ready to go on juvie hunt. So we're going to do a little camping on some public ground a couple hours away from here and go hit the birds up.
That'll be fun, man. It's funny, yeah. You mentioned to me, I'm not going to mention it here, where you were hunting at this yep. weekend, but you mentioned it to me, and literally I had a conversation with Jacob Myers from the Southern Outdoorsman, and he was telling me about that place, And he was like, "But you better not ever say that name anywhere else. You better, nobody needs to know about that place." And then you said it.
I think I mentioned it to Jacob when he moved into town.
So oh, really?
I shouldn't have mentioned it to him, but he would have figured it out, man.
Golly, man, he's being a little bit greedy with the spots, isn't he?
Hey, man, I don't think anyone's greedy with that spot. Everybody knows about it.
Okay, well, we won't say it. I won't say it just to preserve my friendship with people.
I just don't understand why people want to hunt in the mountains of East Tennessee. It drives, you know, but it's fun. There's a lot of. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
See if I can throw people off.
Yeah, yeah. The mountains, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Mountain birds are great.
Yep. So you're going to go out to the juvie hunt this weekend. Have any of your kids ever hunted turkeys before?
Yes. My youngest had an opportunity to sneak up on a small little flock of gobblers last year, man. And that whole ninja sneak at 6 years old, dude, he just was tore up and loved it.
Oh, now, man.
Yeah, schedules didn't line up to where he could do it again with me. So, because of ball and stuff. So, he missed all the rest of turkey season. And every time I'd go, like, want to go behind the house, he wasn't game for that. So, anyways, my other kid, my oldest, Aiden, is 12. And he's shot at two birds and missed both of them. And he's only been hunting three times. And it just doesn't faze him that much. He hasn't caught the bug. But he definitely would rather go turkey hunting than deer hunting, so he did take after me in that respect.
I'm right there with you on that one, or him.
Yeah, yeah. Michael's not just more about deer.
Yeah, yeah, deer just gets me all fired up. Turkey, I don't know. I don't know.
Have you ever heard one like it. I know me and you went last year. Have you ever heard one really like commit and start gobbling and doing its thing?
No, not yet.
Dude, that'll get you.
Oh, dude. It'll get you. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
It to me, man, there's no comparison. Like, if I could pick, I'm going to pick turkey every day. If I have a chance to kill a really good buck versus a gobbler, I'm talking a two-year-old. I'm not talking about a huge one. I'm talking about a two-year-old, man, coming in on a string. Like, let's say he's coming up behind you so you can't even see it, but you hear him, go, go, go. Just keep coming. And, man, you start hearing him spitting and drumming. Dude, there ain't nothing like that.
That's what I keep hearing. And, I went this morning with my friend Brad, which he just sent us a text here a minute ago and said he got one. I think that's going to be my best chance to go with him. And he tried to put me on one last year after he had killed a couple, and I wasn't able to do it, wasn't able to get on any gobblers. We had some hens coming to a field, but that was it.
Y'all did today?
No, this was last turkey season.
Okay, yeah. Okay. I was like, you didn't tell me about that.
I got some filming, some of the film done on my good camera.
Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you guys.
Okay, cool.
I was going to say, man, Michael, when you have that chance, that that opener, when you get one in range and spitting and drumming and gets you all fired up, I hope you remember me and shoot me a text that you got it done.
hey, it's you and everybody else I've talked to. I mean, everybody. Everybody says it.
It's so crazy, man. Like, it drives me, like, that's what I was saying earlier. Like, I love it. I love to turkey hunt, but it is the most frustrating sport and also the most satisfying sport that exists. Like,
it's a really good way of putting it.
It is so freaking frustrating. You will, like, the last day of turkey season, pretty much every time I'm excited. I'm like, yeah, it's like Christmas. It's like the opener. The last day is like the opener for me because I'm like, finally, I can be done with this. But like, just to give you an example, Adam did this past weekend. We hiked 9 miles, and I heard one gobble all day in 9 miles of hiking. And then we also, have you met Tyler yet?
I have not. No.
All right. Well, so Tyler's just Tyler. We say that a lot. He is who he is. Well, he had this just absolutely mind-blowing idea to take his 25 horsepower motor off of his new flat bottom boat and add two trolling motors, and he was like, oh, it's gonna be the best, it's gonna go 8 miles an hour, it's gonna be awesome, we're gonna get anywhere we need to go. Well, the first day the battery died 3 miles back and we had to paddle his John boat back to the boat ramp for 3 miles. And so we were already wore out. Then the second day, he went and bought another battery. He's like, I'm going to run two batteries now. So he went and bought another battery. The second day, it died about halfway back. So we had to paddle another mile and a half on the last day. And then on top of that, hiking 9 miles. So it's just like crap like that that makes turkey season really
frustrating.
Tough. Yeah, it makes it frustrating for me.
Yeah.
Because it seems like
there's a lot more
happens.
Of that. Yeah, I think there's a lot more of that in turkey hunting than there is deer hunting. Oh, I didn't see it. I didn't see a deer, but nothing crazy generally happens like that.
That's so true, man. Like, I feel like if I'm ever going to find a dead body, it's going to be during turkey season. Like, just because weird things happen in turkey season. Like, things just suck most of the time until you kill that bird, man. And then once you kill it, you're going to be like,
You could be like Tyler.
Yeah, no. Once you kill that bird, dude, that first one, it's like, I don't even know, like, I can't compare it to cocaine, but I'd imagine it'd be pretty close to the same.
I would say that's pretty dang close.
Yeah.
Adam, imagine that first deer kill.
Adam would know. Adam, is it pretty close to cocaine? I'm just kidding. Not really.
I'm going
to
plead the fifth.
but it is a lot of fun, man. So, Adam, speaking of that, like, just that moment where you got hooked, do you remember, like, just that, like, come to Jesus moment where you were like, I'm going to chase these birds forever?
Oh, man, yeah, I got it. So I started turkey hunting because when I was deer hunting, it was like prime time as a kid. I mean, we would go, we'd see 10, 15, 20 deer. Deer hunting was a little bit easy. I mean, if you want to kill a deer, you're going to kill a deer. One day I'm sitting out there, never seen a turkey in my life, probably 12, 13 years old, and a flock of turkeys go by this field. And I'm like, what the heck? I didn't realize we had turkeys. So I started investigating, like, hey, is there even a turkey season? Found out there was. Man, the first time I went turkey hunting, I loaded up with my granddad's old single shot shotgun, old Savage Stevens, and I put buckshot in it because I had no flipping clue what I was doing. I didn't even know what a gobbler looked like. I did no research. But I bought me a little push button call. So I'm sitting under this tree, man, and first day of season, dude, there's gobblers everywhere. I'm like surrounded. They're just going off and I'm like shaking like crazy, just hitting this little push button. And I remember reading something like, okay, call a little bit and shut up. So I did that. Dude, sure enough, two jakes come right in front of me, but I didn't know what a jake was. So I didn't shoot these guys. Well, make a long story a little bit shorter. I think I went two or three more years without killing a bird. And I met a guy named David Elliott. He's a barber in the town that I grew up in. And David is a big time turkey hunter. And I called David up and I said, dude, I want to kill a turkey this year. Can you help me? I'm not asking you to take me. I'm not asking you to put me on a spot. I'm just looking for some advice. And he said, all right, man, this is what you're going to do. Go do your scouting. Go roost some birds the night before. Call me and tell me about the lay of the land and the situation. And I'm going to help get you where you need to be. So sure enough, man, I'm walking all through my fields, you know, got the owl hooter hitting that thing. Bam, I locate some gobblers. I get close enough to see exactly what trees they're roosted in. It's a perfect setup. Well, I didn't know that at the time. But anyways, get back home. I call David. I was like, hey, man, I got these gobblers. There were some hens, and this is how they're set up. And David's like, well, you know, you got a situation there where they're with these hens, so it's going to be tough. So he gave me some ideas to mimic the hens and what they were doing. And by this time, I was actually pretty dang good with a mouth call, so I could do just about anything I wanted to do. Well, my dad's not a turkey hunter. He's always been a deer hunter, but he's also been very supportive. So longer story short, he goes with me. He sets up on the left. I set up on the right. My four-year-old brother falls asleep behind us. There's three of us out there, and I'm calling to these birds, man. Just hitting it, and I'm calling way too much, most likely, but I'm ticking these hens off. They're mad. These gobblers are gobbling their heads off, and man, this one gobbler comes just running in on a string, and he's gobbling, and I can't see him, but by the time it's all said and done, he is five steps from my dad's gun barrel, and I'm like, shoot him. He's saying, no, we won't let you, basically kind of whispering. And man, this bird is legitimately just spitting, drumming, gobbling his head off right beside us. And as soon as he passes right in front of my bead, which it can't be more than two steps, I hammer him. And man, I'm telling you, Like, I grabbed that bird's feet, and I had no clue that they still had a little life in them after they're, you know, they've been shot. And I basically blew this thing's head off because he's right there on my gun barrel.
Hey, were you still using buckshot, or did you learn that?
By this time, I'd switched over to some turkey loads.
Okay.
I think just like the old cheap, what I guess is Remington Nitros now, and some number sixes. But, man, that bird was flying around up in the air like a helicopter, like he's going to take my little 14-year-old arm off. And that right there, man, I've never been so excited. The adrenaline that pumps through my body has never got to that same level like it did that morning. It probably never will, but, man, it gets daggum close every time I get a bird in tight and kill it.
Now, that's cool.
If I shoot a bird out to 50 yards, it's cool. And I'm not a hater, man. Like, I got me some TSS running through my shotgun this year. If I have to shoot one at 50, I want to do it. But, man, when you get them in 10 steps and they're doing all that crazy stuff, oh, tears me up.
I think if I was 14 and that happened, I'd probably be hooked too.
I'm pretty
pumped and stuff just hearing you know tell a story. So I can't imagine being there in person.
I've heard people call it just, you know, I've heard a lot of people say it's like, it's the elk hunting of the South. Like, if you want something that's close to elk in the South, turkey's it. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Just the chase, the pursuit. You hear them. It's exciting. It's like if you go out and deer hunt, you know, you can't ever know if there was a deer just out of view. You know what I mean? Like, it could be that there were – you could have 12 booners within 100 yards of you, but if they were behind the right cover, you never know. With turkeys – pretty much most of the time, if they're acting right, you're going to know if they're there. And it's just what keeps you coming back, man. It keeps you wanting more. It's crazy. My
it
first
is, man.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, man, I've been elk hunting, and I will say this. That was a very good comparison. But elk hunting for me was on a completely different level because I legitimately thought I was having asthma attacks up there. Like, I was getting so excited. I was like, maybe it was altitude.
Yeah.
I don't even know, man, but I was busted up. Yeah, anyways, go back to your story.
No, I was just going to say, my first turkey I shot with a .30-06 right in the chest. So, and it was completely legal. Legal, not illegal, legal. I was raised in Texas, and you can hunt turkeys during deer season. And so deer hunting was slow, and probably my best bird that I've ever killed was my first one, and I killed it with a .30-06 at like 10 yards.
That still was close range.
Yeah, I mean, I could have shot it with a shotgun for sure. Moving to the South for me was a little bit different because in Texas, now don't get me wrong, turkey season is a big deal. In the part of Texas I was in, it really wasn't. Like, people didn't really care about turkeys. I heard a lot of people call them corn vultures because they just come and eat people's corn from their deer feeders. And so it's a whole different story when out here, it's like the thing for a lot of people is turkey season in the South. It's just a big deal. And so the first time I remember, man, I was living in Georgia, and it was the first time I'd ever hunted Easterns. And I just got a wild hair to do it. I don't even know what it was. And I went in, and I had one of those moments like you had, Adam, and I called this bird in from like 300 yards. I could see him on a ridge. Every time he'd get in the right sunlight, I could see him walking on this ridge. And so, I knew how to call because I did it some in Texas. But I didn't really know, like the tactics of it. You know, like, I could make the right sounds. I just didn't know what cadence to do or anything like that. And so I'm just sitting there, man. I'm sitting there like I'm something else because I got this turkey to gobble. And then all of a sudden he shuts up and he comes in, dude, at like 12 steps. I had no idea he was even there until he started spitting and drumming, and I looked over, and then he saw me look over at him, and he was strutted, you know, he was in full strut, and like, it was like, and this was like the second day I had went out chasing Easterns, and I actually had a legitimate opportunity to kill one. And for me, dude, that moment was just like, yeah, I'm pretty much, hate to say it, but I'm going to do this forever.
And some days you're going to beat your head against the wall doing it.
Yep.
Just part of it.
And that's it. So you mentioned earlier that you're planning on using your kayak for the turkey season coming up, and you got a motor put on it. Did you get all that stuff all? I know you were having some issues getting it all together and getting it ready. Was that Has that been fixed?
And I am up and running, but I hope I'm not like you and the gang next weekend and out on the river and stall out. But I shouldn't be. I should be good to go.
That's awesome. So you got, so you joined the new canoe crew.
I did, man. I joined your little tribe.
The little club that we got going on with me, you, and Walter.
Yep.
That's
and I couldn't be happier, man. I took it out last weekend, just paddling it, and it was some strong winds. I'd heard people talking about how the Frontier like would have issues in the wind where it would kind of catch wind a little bit. But honestly, man, I've had a bunch of different kayaks, and that one probably handled it better than the others that I've had because of the way, I guess, like the hole is shaped. Man, yeah. It just goes through the water so much better than any other kayak I've had.
It does. It doesn't go super fast, but it does not, like, the tracking is so good. Like, you're just not going to get off course. It's not going to push you sideways. It's a pretty sweet boat. And so you're rocking that with a, did you say you got a Honda motor?
Yep, got the Honda 2.3.
Oh, man. Have you got that all, have you gotten to go out on that yet?
No, we'll next week. So okay. Work hasn't allowed it, and then this weekend I wasn't really prepared to take the motor out yet. So
I got
you. Now.
So I actually have been spending like the last 3 or 4 days researching different small outboard motors that I can get. I was gonna go with the trolling motor route until that whole thing happened this weekend, and I was like, nope, definitely gonna go with the outboard. And so I'm looking. I got my eye on one that's in Huntsville right now, and all I have to do, I don't know, maybe Adam, do you know? Can you sell guns via podcast?
Via podcast?
Yeah. So if I put a feeler for something I'm trying to sell out on the podcast, so that I can buy a
totally
boat
legit.
Motor. All right. So I'm selling an AR. If anybody wants it, send me a message, and I will sell it to you for a good price. And I will also be able to buy the motor that I want to get.
What's the motor?
It is the Yamaha 2.6, I think.
Nice. Dude, I've heard so many good things about that one.
Yeah, and the guy's selling it for a good price. So
the Yamaha, Suzuki, and the Honda, all three are just like right in line. Just kind of depends on what you want to do with it.
Yeah, I'm
from what I've studied.
I'm hoping I can get in one of those before turkey season starts. So let's talk about that, about water access. Have you done a lot of water access turkey hunts in the past?
Last year was my first time.
Okay.
And it was awesome because, I mean, you read strategies, tactics. I mean, if you've been turkey hunting for any amount of time and you've hunted around water, you know that you get on some high ground and close to water, and there's a really good likelihood, especially if there's food around and good habitat, turkey's going to be there. So honestly, man, for me, locating birds last year was super easy. Now, the problem I had was I couldn't zip up and down the lake or the river because I didn't have a motor, and I was kind of stuck to paddling around. And the other problem is if you're talking birds are roosting up high and you're down in the water, you got to get to those suckers, and likely they're going to pitch off in a spot to where you're going to have to, you know, find a way to get on beached and get to them. So that's pretty tough, or can be tough. So this year I've come up with some strategies around that, and hopefully I can help myself be a little bit more successful with the area that I hunt.
Yeah, I've noticed that. I've noticed a lot of times the access on the roost, especially early in the mornings, is a little bit difficult because it's tough to stay out of sight, you know, because they're roosting close to the water almost always. And at least, you know, the ones that I've had experience with, I know turkeys roost other places, but when you're coming in by the water, if they're roosting, they're going to be pretty close. They're going to be somewhere close. And so, that was something that I've realized that I'm going to have to try to figure out, even taking the long way around. If I know the areas they like to roost in, a lot of times I'll just take the long way around instead of maybe giving myself away, and I'll take the long way around and just get it from that way. But either way, I'm still getting there faster than if I tried to walk in and do that stuff. And so I noticed the same thing you do. Animals and wildlife just in general seems to gravitate towards the water almost always. Like all of the spots that I hunt are full of turkeys, and they're full of deer. They're full of pretty much anything that you can imagine that we have out here. And so I tell people all the time, man, if you're wanting to start public land and you don't feel qualified, you don't feel like you're, maybe you don't feel like your skills are up to par, try Water Access because it takes a little bit of that pressure off of you. And you still have to know how to do basic things, but you can learn all that stuff. And I don't know if maybe you've seen the same thing, your sightings with wildlife go up since you started doing that or not.
Man, it's so much. In some ways, I like it more because I enjoy the aspect of throwing in another little challenge and the ripple with the water. And I really enjoy kayaking. That's something I like to do, even if I didn't hit fish or hunt. This seems like the wildlife are attracted there. And then the other thing, man, is a lot of people are scared to get around the water, or they don't have any kind of boat or any way to get out there and get after the animals. So, man, I think it lowers the amount of pressure, especially after opening weekend. It's like people say, you know what? I'd rather go to this WMA because I can just get off on this trailhead and I can start walking and make it a lot easier on me.
I don't understand that. I don't understand that because I would rather paddle than walk any day of the week.
I don't know, man. I really enjoy the walk, to be honest.
Oh, man. It's so much more difficult.
Yeah. I don't know.
I hate it. I hate the walk.
I mean, I'd go all summer and scout up there in Bankhead. And, I mean, I just loved covering ground. I don't know. I just enjoyed it. It's time to get away, get, you know, peace and quiet. And I don't know. You just get in a rhythm.
I mean, I like doing that.
Just get in a rhythm and go.
I don't mind doing it. I'm just talking about, like, at 4 o'clock in the morning, walking in versus paddling in, or dragging a deer a mile versus paddling in
now,
a mile.
Now, that's where you got me.
It's so much easier.
That drag out. It's terrible, even with the cart.
I don't know what it's like. I've never killed a deer on public land that I did not get to just paddle out.
Well, I'm with Michael. If I could take out the pressure scenario and there was no hunting pressure, I'd rather walk. And then I go kayak and fish and do all that other stuff on the side. But seeing as there is a ton of pressure on public ground in most scenarios, man, that Water Access takes a lot of that out of the equation.
Yeah, it does. I love
it. So we talk about it, and everybody gets a stinking kayak or a boat and does it.
No, you see, here's the thing. I have seen people do that. I've seen people like, oh, man, I need to try this. But you still have to be a grinder to be able to discipline yourself.
It takes a lot of time.
It takes time. You have to get up earlier. You have to get a boat into the water. Like, this is stuff that people don't think about, like getting it off a trailer or out of the back of the truck or – off the top of your vehicle. It takes time. And then aside from that, you've got to put all your stuff in the boat. And so it is harder. There's no doubt about it. You have to grind and you have to discipline yourself to do it. And I notice, man, especially when it's cold, I see more water access for turkeys than I do deer, for sure, because it's nicer out. You don't have to get out there before, like right before the sun comes up. You can pretty much turkey hunt anytime you want throughout the day. And have a decent shot at killing a turkey. But I see, man, I just don't see people do it for whatever reason. I don't know what it is.
Money.
You don't have to have money.
Well, that's definitely an issue, especially if they don't consider canoe and kayak. They think they have to have a John boat with a 25 horse on it. That might cost them $1,500. A lot of people don't even want to do that. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
I don't blame them.
You're right. And that's why I did the kayak, because I just – didn't have money. I didn't have spots. I didn't have a place to go. I have a kayak. I like to kayak fish. Let's do that. Let's try this out. And it's worked out. It's worked out really good.
Hey, it does add some awesome B-roll.
It does.
We did realize that because my deer, the ones that I killed, I was like, Parker, I can't just film my feet the whole way. Like, I mean, you can only have like a few seconds of that. I mean, that's it. I mean, you're done.
No more B-roll.
No more B-roll. He's like, why are you talking so much? Like walking into your spots. I was like, there's nothing else to do. I mean, it's not like I can film myself paddling, film the water, you know, just the little ripples like you were talking about earlier, you know. I don't know. It's just totally different. It's not as cool.
It is. All right. So getting away from the water access, we discovered why I like Adam so much, and that's because he also is a water accessor. So Adam, real quick, we're running out of time. I got two more questions for you, okay, if you're good with
sure.
that. What is your number one goal for this turkey season?
I would like to see both of my children – both my older boys kill a turkey. And not only that, but what I would say become turkey hunters. So have an experience kind of like what I did, where they want to keep coming back for more. And that's my number one goal.
That's good. I like it. It's not selfish at all, and I love it. I feel like my answers would be selfish.
Hey, I've got selfish answers in there too. So the number one usually is for me to tag out, like, and I don't mind tagging out on all 2-year-olds, whatever. Like, that's generally my my goal, and never tagged out. Usually, like 3 and 2 is my numbers.
Okay, that's a good. Both of those are good goals. Yeah, I would say my 2-year-old's probably a little too young to get into turkey hunting this year, but you know, I think that's a good goal. It's respectable, and it's also doable. I think it's, you know, you give them a good experience in it, and I think that man, there's no reason why it shouldn't be the same way for them.
I think my number one would just be to kill one myself.
Yeah.
That might be mine in a couple weeks.
Yeah, goals are really easy to say at the beginning of the season, and then you get halfway through and you're like, yeah, I'll shoot a Jake, which is
you got that right,
which is my goal. Like, always, if I shoot a Jake, I'm okay, I'm all right with it.
Don't hold back.
Yep. So Adam, the last question I got, you are a pretty seasoned turkey hunter. I feel like you have a lot of wisdom that you could share with other turkey hunters, especially younger guys. What is one piece of advice that you would give a new turkey hunter, somebody like Michael, who's a little bit green to it, who's hunted deer and just wants another chance to get out in the outdoors? What's a piece of advice you would give them?
Put your woodsmanship that you already currently have, if you have it. Now, I'm talking to Michael. You know, I know he's got it.
Right.
Use your woodsmanship to get in there close and be a killer and kill them. And don't mess around. So I posted something on the Southern Ground Facebook page the other day. You asked the same question. And the piece of advice I gave was one that I learned from Andy Galliano of the Turkey Hunter podcast. And that's, when you think you're close enough, get one tree closer, because you're always going to need to. And then, you know, if you need to break out the calls, break them out at that point. Man, get in tight. Just don't get caught. Be a good woodsman.
That's good. And so to that, I'm not going to ask you another really in-depth question, but when you say you go one tree closer, when you think you're close enough, get what was that what you said? One tree closer or half the distance closer?
Yep. One tree closer.
One tree closer. When you're going out and it's early in the morning, the birds are still on the tree, they're still roosted up, are you doing like soft yelps? You know, are you pretty much just trying to locate with owl hoots or something like that?
So now in this situation, I know where the birds are roosted, right?
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe you hear one. Already.
Okay. If I hear one, let me give you a couple of different scenarios. So if I hear one and I know the general area that he's roosted in, and I know that property or that layout of the land, if I know where that bird generally flies down to, I'm heading in that direction and I'm not going to make a sound. Now, if I'm in a new spot that I've never been to, I'm going to get in a situation to where I can get as close to that bird as I possibly can without him seeing me or me having I don't want to turn on any lights or make a bunch of noise. I want to stealthily get in as close as I can. And I do like to call to them softly on the roost in those situations. If I knew where he's flying down, I wouldn't. But in this situation, I would, and I would imitate a hen flying off the roost, do some cackling and beating the pants leg with a hat, making it sound like I'm hitting the dirt there and wings are hitting the tree branches. And that's the way I would roll, and I would kind of go from there.
Okay. I like that. That's one of the things that took me forever to really learn, and I say that like I've learned it. I haven't learned it. Just kind of that whole, like, breaking it up by scenario, especially, you know, it's a little bit easier for me when they're already on the ground, but when they're not on the ground yet, that is a difficult part to figure out. And so, man, I really appreciate you coming on the show, man, and sharing some of that stuff, sharing your stories. That was a lot of fun.
Man, it was. And let me give you one more. So,
okay,
if you're a turkey hunter, and maybe you're new to the sport, start just trying to figure out the lay of the land. understand the properties that you have access to hunt, whether it's public, that's private, know every nook and cranny. Try to think about different scenarios about how you would approach a bird. And I really can't stress it enough. You asked me if I was a turkey killer in the beginning, when I may humbly say that I'm not, but when turkey season rolls in, and if you or me or we're piling out of the truck that morning, I'm absolutely going to tell you, yes, I'm a turkey killer, because I got one thing on my mind, and that's legitimately to kill one of those devils. Cause that's the way you have to have your mindset, is break everything else out. Like, no hold bar. If you got to crawl and sneak up on them to shoot them, do it. I've killed more ninja style turkeys than I can probably count. I love crawling up on a turkey. And I have a lot of turkey hunters are going to say, you know what? I'd rather call one in. I'd rather do this, man. I just won't kill it no matter what.
So tell me this, far as deer have, they travel a certain way, certain places. Do turkey do that, or like, I have no clue.
Like using terrain features,
yeah,
and stuff like that.
Let's take a really easy one to think about in a saddle, in a terrain feature, and how deer would take those saddles. Turkeys
right.
will do the exact same thing. So if I'm a new turkey hunter and I know turkeys are frequenting an area and I know they're going from point A to point B and I can get between them, I would definitely set up in a saddle for sure. I got a saddle in my backyard, and that's how I killed that bird last year. Man, they travel right through the saddle of that yard. It's a saddle you can't see on a map, kind of one of those Dan Infault saddles. You don't know it's there until you get there on the ground. But, man, it is super evident, and the wildlife just funnel right through that thing. So,
I knew birds
were roosting behind my house and got them that way.
I see a lot of them, to what you're saying. You know, a saddle is a pretty, it's a staple thing in the deer hunting world and in the turkey hunting world. I see a lot of turkeys travel transitions just the same way as deer do, those transition lines, and they roost up on those transition lines too, in my experience. So I always tell people all the time, like, I kind of just really hunt them like I hunt deer. If I find a terrain feature or vegetation change or something like that that I feel like would be good for deer, I'll use that for turkeys as well, because I usually find them there.
Yeah.
Yep.
So,
Do they usually bed low or high? Like
roosting.
Roost.
Yeah.
Roost.
We can't. Michael's trying to figure out if we can go out and find turkey beds.
Well, if we're good climb, maybe we can use some climbing spurs and we'll figure it out. Yeah. I'd go high, man.
You pull out the feather out of them.
Hey, so if I'm on a new property, I'll look for like bluffs, stuff like that. Turkeys will get high and they can see, the predators around them before they fly down.
So,
if I've got a piece of farmland I hunt and a big hill above the guy's house, and these birds will roost way up on top of that hill and those trees and then fly down into the fields
right
in the morning time.
So if you've got like mostly like a pine plantation, and then you have your what is it when they do like the 50 yards on each side of the creek, what is that called again?
An SMZ.
SMZ, yeah. So if you've got SMZs, that run in between, where all of these pine hills are, or do you find them bedding?
Dang it, man!
Dadgummit!
Do you find them roosting like on the edge, on that transition, like in the pines where they fly down into the hardwoods, like like along the creek, or do you find them like way up in the pines, or how?
Man, I've never actually hunted pines. I guess I'm not deep enough south, but I would think that they would fly down. Definitely the water scenario. You got a creek nearby,
right?
Man, I'm following that creek, and I'm following that transition between pines and hardwoods for sure. I would personally think that they would fly down towards the hardwoods and go in there, because I think that's
right
where they're gonna find the most food.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I've noted. I would say pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
Yep. Any other questions, Mike?
Man, I got a ton. I know you're short on time.
We could keep talking about this, I'm sure, but we'll go ahead. Adam, I know you got some stuff you got to go do today. But, man, again, we really appreciate you coming on the show, man, and I know a lot of our listeners are going to really enjoy that.
Man, truly a pleasure. Pleasure. Treasure or pleasure, whatever you want to call it.
You could call me a treasure. I don't like to brag, but I'm a treasure.
Getting to know you two guys has been a treasure and a pleasure.
That's cool, man. Well, Adam, you have a good day, dude, and good luck this weekend. I hope your kids can get on them.
Hey, same to you guys. Have a good one.
All right, appreciate it, man. All right, that was a great episode, great conversation with Mr. Adam Cruz. Again, we really appreciate you, Adam, for coming on the show. That was a lot of fun. Michael, did you learn anything that you didn't already know?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like we were
like
just...
what?
I feel like we were just getting to the good stuff.
We were just getting to the good stuff, man. It was getting really good. Yeah.
We had some time constraints today.
Yeah, we did. We had some time constraints. So, funny story. I don't know if we mentioned this. I don't know if I got this on the recording or not, but if not, Adam thought we were just recording or thought we were just talking about turkey hunting. Like,
just having a conversation on the phone. He didn't know he was going to be on the podcast.
I guess I could have been more clear on that. I think I texted him and said, hey, you want to have a quick convo about turkeys? So probably that sounds stupid. I can't believe that. I'm sorry, Adam. Again, I've told you like 15,000 times. I'm sorry for that. But it was a really good episode. I think sometimes, I know I'm a lot better when people just like kind of catch me off guard and I don't have time to think about it.
Right.
So I know a lot of you guys are going to really appreciate that that conversation with Adam. Again, go follow Adam on social media, on Facebook and on Instagram. See his turkey hunting goodness that he's about to be putting out there. Tennessee season starts next weekend. He said juvie season starts this weekend. Our season starts in the zone that we hunt, primarily hunt. It starts the same weekend as Tennessee starts. So we're about to be, at least I am, I'm going to be in the woods a lot. Probably kicking myself for ever starting turkey hunting.
Yeah, I'll be up there with you.
Yeah, that'd be fun. It'll be
we'll
cool
go together.
If we can get you.
Yeah, I can get some filming done.
No, man, we got to get you on your bird.
All right.
That'd be fun. That'd be just as much fun
if
for me.
If I don't kill one before then. Since Brad got his, maybe he's going to take me out and let me kill one.
Let me teach you something about turkey hunters, Mike. Turkey hunters don't... when they kill one, they're not satisfied with just killing one. They're like, all right, time to move on to the next one. So hopefully he does that. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I did put him on a deer during deer
it's
season.
True. You so did do
he,
that.
He killed a 9-point. He's like, hey, man, how about we go up to Bankhead and you put me on a deer? So we go up there. I put him on a deer. We hadn't been there, no lie, 30 minutes. And he's already got a 9-point on the ground. And I was like, this was easy. And I was like, yeah, it's because, you know, all the scouting and hunting I did up in this area.
That's awesome.
He
also killed.
But he realized that. He told me again. He told me thanks. And he said, you know, he's going to try to get me on a turkey. So
he killed a pretty freaking good buck this year.
He
too,
killed
didn't
a
he?
Huge buck.
Like, was it like 100?
I don't know what. I don't know
like
what it was. It is huge.
It was massive.
And he had another encounter. He shot another one and tracked blood for a long ways. And I think it went off their property. But never did recover that one. But
that man's a killer. We need to get him on for sure.
Yeah,
that'd be cool. So, yeah, that's all we got for today. Again, we're going to be doing a turkey call giveaway on Facebook, maybe on Instagram as well. Turkey call giveaway every single week of the turkey season. So make sure you go and follow our page on Facebook. That is at Southern Ground Hunting. Also on Instagram, it's also at Southern Ground Hunting. Check out the YouTube channel. We're going to be producing a lot of turkey. I can't say really good turkey content because I don't know that it's going to be really good. But it'll be entertaining, to say the least. It'll definitely be entertaining. And that's going to be on the Sportsman's Nation YouTube channel.
If you gave me a turkey call, that would be pretty entertaining.
Yeah, that's all we got to do.
Yeah.
So I'm still trying to catch us up on deer season. We've put out, I don't know, like three so far that were after deer season already ended. Three different deer kill videos that we got. I still have two. One of them's already made. Your big buck is not created yet. And so just go and subscribe to the channel. We've got a lot of momentum there right now. Go subscribe to that Sportsman's Nation YouTube channel, and you're going to see a lot of cool content coming from us. Michael, let me ask you one more time. Do you have anything else to add?
Yeah, I'm freezing, dude.
It's cold out here.
Let's get out of the shade and back in the sun. Let's shoot the stick bow again.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Also, thank you to our partners at Onyx, at Tethered, at New Breed, and at Go Wild. We believe in these companies. We believe in everything they do. So go and check those companies out.
And look forward to our giveaways.
Yeah, the giveaway is going to be pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. Not going to tell you any more than that. So God gave you dominion over the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and the beasts of the earth. So remember to go out and exercise that dominion. We'll talk to you guys next time.